Brothers and sisters, regarding the special Daniel prayer meeting, let me tell you two inspiring brothers from the Sunday school who are competing each other in faith. Both of them had lost the fullness of the Spirit in a little, often skipping the prayer meeting. As I encouraged them to keep running hard, I suggested that they make a vow prayer during the special Daniel prayer meeting. Thankfully, afterwards, they pledged to each other that they would attend the 42-day special Daniel prayer meeting without skipping even one night, except when there's a natural disaster and the like. And they decided to offer one-day fasting if they miss even one night. They promised that after the special Daniel prayer meeting is over, the loser shall treat the winner to a meal. In my presence, they both confidently said, "I will win by praying without missing a single night." Hearing this, I asked, "What if two of you attend all 42 nights?" They said, "All right, we didn't think about that yet. Who would be the winner then?" So I promised that if both of them pray without skipping one night, I would treat them to a meal. Seeing these two brothers, I was delighted, thinking, this is what my man is like. I was so happy for their resolve, for change. Brothers and sisters, what is the purpose of your Christian life? And why should we make it our first priority rather than considering that as a secondary or a minor factor in life? Why should we need such a fervent and distinct life of faith even in the eyes of other Christians as well as unbelieving people? It's because we have assurance and hope in heaven, which is our ultimate goal in life. Moreover, we're hoping for a new Jerusalem. Then, why are we so eager to enter New Jerusalem? It's because we wish to become the fruit of the shepherd's tears, which is the title for the special Daniel prayer meeting. Because we love our shepherd who has given up all of himself to help us fix our eyes only on the Father and the Lord, not meaningless worldly things, who has endured so many days in tears and sacrifice to change us, and who is sacrificing himself even right now. Because of him, we want to make sure to change ourselves and enter New Jerusalem as the fruits of his love. It's also because we want to live with our dearest Father God, the Lord and the Shepherd, forever in New Jerusalem without being separated. For this reason, Mommy members have strived to cast off evil and change themselves. Then, what should we do to become the fruit of the shepherd? Just as we are reminded in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, "For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer." We have to devote ourselves to the word and prayer, pray holding on to the word, and apply it in our lives. Only then can we change ourselves and become his fruit of tears. Now, with the special Daniel prayer meeting going on under the title, "The Fruit of the Shepherd's Tears," we have the opportunity to be reborn as such fruit. On top of that, we are also participating in the Bible reading campaign. Right before I stepped over here, I heard happy news. I heard some students already finished reading the entire Bible. I was astonished. She is only ninth grader, and I asked how she could read the Bible. She read a great number of pages a day while she commuted to school, and while on the way back home, she read the Bible. She was eager to read the Bible, and she kept trying like this. So as we try like this, we can hold on to this opportunity. Through this, we have to make sure to become the fruit of the shepherd's tears. As 3 John chapter 1 verse 2 reads, Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. To the extent our soul prospers, we can receive many answers in our lives. So, to help you not to miss out on this opportunity, but to receive answers from God, I've decided to deliver the shepherd's previous message on the seven spirits which are essential for us to receive his answers. The messages on the seven spirits carry very significant content for our walk in the Lord. Particularly, to receive answers by way of healing, blessing, or spiritual change, we have to be knowledgeable about the seven spirits and obtain qualifications for his answers. It applies not only to receiving answers on an individual level, but to receiving God's answer on a church level. The shepherd said, in preaching on the seven spirits back in 2009, senior pastor stated, God doesn't answer the church's prayer by my faith alone. The average spiritual level of the church member should meet the standards of the seven spirits. From now on, let me elaborate on the seven areas that the seven spirits measure. Hopefully, we can raise our average spiritual level through this opportunity. If all the church members are united as one in raising our average spiritual level, Father God will be very, very pleased. Once Father God is pleased with us, nothing can trouble us. No matter how impossible something seems by man's ways, once God intervenes, it can be resolved with great ease. Thus, the only thing we have to do is to please Father God. So, I challenge you to make efforts to be qualified in all the areas when the seven spirits measure us. The shepherd encouraged us like this. I hope that through this message, you will check once again whether your faith has been pleasing to Father God or worthy of his answers. If you find areas where you fall short of the requirements of the seventh spirit, you can fix them. Then answers and blessings will come upon you without fail. Through this time of blessing, I urge all of you, without exception of anyone, to glorify God through fruits of blessings. Brothers and sisters, first let us go over what seven spirits are and delve into the areas they measure. The seven spirits is mentioned 4 times in Revelation. Particularly, today's scripture, Revelation chapter 5 verse 6 says, And I saw between the throne with the 4 living creatures and the elders and a lamb standing as if slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Simply speaking, the 7 spirits signify the heart of Father God who measures 7 different areas. In Father God's heart are various attributes. Among them is a dividing entity of God that measures people's hearts. So, it's not that the seven spirits is composed of 7 different spirits. It refers to the Spirit of God that measures 7 areas. That's why it is called the seven spirits. Also, there's a spiritual reason that it is called the seven spirits. Spiritually, 7 signifies perfection. As said in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit. God is spirit itself. The heart of Father God who is spirit itself is called seven spirits. So it signifies the perfect spirit of God. According to the measurement of the seven spirits, God decides whether he will answer us or not. Let's take a closer look at how the seven spirits measure us. First, the seven spirits search the heart of his children all over the world. They measure their faith, joy, prayer, thanksgiving, keeping of the commandments, faithfulness, and love. Just by measuring these 7 areas, an overall evaluation of a person's life of faith is possible. If a person is found qualified in these 7 areas, God answers his prayer. Because Father God can divide his spirit into numerous others, he can precisely measure all his believers, and what the 7 spirits evaluate and measure are directly delivered to his heart. Because the 7 spirits are part of Father God's heart, Father God feels the same way the seven spirits do. Therefore, Father God answers our prayers according to the measurement of the seven spirits. Some novice believers may worry, it would be hard for me to be qualified by the seven spirits. But in reality, it could be easier for them. The seven spirits doesn't apply the same standards to each person. The seven spirits apply different standards depending on each person's measure of faith, just like parents. It's just like parents who treat their children in a different way as they grow up. For example, parents give in to their newborn babies crying and whining without scolding them, even though they can't communicate with each other. Parents figure out what they want and do it for them. Let's say a 5-year-old boy still behaves like a newborn. How would his parents feel? They would be heartbroken. If he still behaves like, the same way even after he's turned 10, his parents would grieve for them. Even a little child should act this age. Only then can his parents feel relieved. If a child conducts himself in a more mature way than the kids of his own age, his parents would be pleased. No matter what kind of request he makes, they would grant his request with faith in him. The same goes for our relationship with Father God. Whether you are at the first, second, third, or fourth level of faith, God measures you according to your faith. Therefore, if people at the third level lead a Christian life like those at the first level, they are without God's answers, no matter how much they pray. On the contrary, if people at the third level display deeds like those at the fourth level, Father God is delighted and willing to ask whatever they ask for. This is why novice believers receive God's answers more easily. When the seven spirits measure people, they don't require high standards of those at the first or second level. There are cases where novice believers burn with the first love for God and demonstrate the deeds like those at the third or fourth level, like they attend all kinds of services and pray diligently. They are always happy to meet brothers of faith. When someone from the church visits them, whoever that is, they welcome him or her. While they are at the first or second level, their fullness exceeds that of those at the third level. They receive whatever they ask of whatever they ask in prayer. They receive answers the same way people at the fourth level do. So we often see them testify, as soon as I pray, he answers me. Empowered by such fullness, they should keep growing in faith without losing grace in trials or trouble. As they spend more days as a Christian, their faith, joy, prayer, thanksgiving, faithfulness, etc. has to grow as well. Only then can they be found qualified by the seven spirits. The reason Father God decides whether to answer us based on the measurement of the seven spirits is not because he hates to give us answers. Father God desires to give us as many answers and blessings as possible. However, because his justice must not be violated, he sets the standards for each level of faith and precisely evaluates us. From now on, let me explain what the seven spirits measure. I recommend you to examine yourselves as to whether you can be qualified by the seven spirits. Due to lack of time, we will go over faith, joy, and prayer, and cover the rest in the next session. Brothers and sisters, first, the seven spirits measure our faith. The Bible makes it clear things are done according to our faith. Then, do you receive answers every time you confess in faith and ask in prayer? If you indeed confess with true spiritual faith by which you believe from your heart, whatever you ask for, can surely become a reality. But why do people fail to receive answers despite their confessions of faith and prayer? It's because they confessed, "I believe," not with the spiritual faith by which one believes from his heart, but with fleshly faith, which is knowledge-based faith. Even though we confess what's in our heads, that's not a confession of true faith. It's not worthy of receiving answers. Then, what is spiritual faith? The shepherd explained, by spiritual faith, we can believe without any doubt what is invisible and not in agreement with our thoughts and knowledge. It is to believe that something can be created from nothing. By the way, such spiritual faith is not given to anyone who desires to have it. To the extent that we cast off evil and become sanctified, God gives us spiritual faith from above. As we cast off evil and sanctify ourselves, our confessions of faith become truthful as well. If we have nothing to condemn in ourselves in light of God's words, we have confidence before God. Then we can boldly ask God with firm faith that He hears what we ask for in prayer. We have such boldness. It's because to the extent we live by His words, God gives us spiritual faith from above. All of you have been seeing, hearing, and experiencing signs and wonders at this church. We are always seeing them. Recently, particularly, especially when we had an anniversary, as preachers testified on the altar, the weather forecast said that we will have rain all week long, and so women members were scheduled to prepare food on the churchyard. So we witnessed what happened on that day. They were scheduled to meet at 1 p.m. and the rain had stopped. As you can see on the screen, there was blue sky over us, and Father God demonstrated that He is with us through the weather. Let's give thanks and glory to Father God. That's not the end. Father God has given us a special gift. Father God also showed us extraordinary shapes of clouds. He inscribed 36 some peculiar shape of cloud as if it signified 36, as if He celebrated our 36th anniversary. We see these kinds of signs and wonders, and we overflow with those signs and wonders. Through these signs and wonders, Father God is demonstrating that He is with Ma Min, and we are always seeing and witnessing them. So, we know that even what is impossible by man can be made possible by God, and think we have such faith. But in the face of trouble, whether your faith has been true faith or merely knowledge-based faith can be examined. Let's say you get stricken with a disease, and that disease can be cured by some treatment. But without treatment, the symptoms get worse and even lead you to death. In that situation, would you be able to confess, "I believe the Almighty God will heal me," and completely rely upon God only? Even though you make such confessions with your lips, you may be concerned and doubtful. In your heart, you are worried. What if I cannot be healed and it gets only worse? Such thoughts and anxiety demonstrate that you don't possess true faith yet. Those with true spiritual faith firmly believe that God will surely heal them, so they are without concerns or worries. even if they commit sins and get stricken with a disease, they believe if they repent, they will be forgiven and be healed. If they thoroughly repent and break down the wall of sin, they get conviction that they will be healed. Like this, if only we break down the wall of sin, we are given spiritual faith by which we believe that we will be answered. Then, how much more would it be so with those who always live in light? Whenever they ask the Father for something, He is quick to answer them. 1 John chapter, He will answer us quickly. 1 John chapter 3 verses 21 and 22 also remind us, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. I urge all of you to build such a profound, deep relationship with Father God. And regarding this, you know, our shepherd has set good examples for us. For the last 36 years, senior pastor has exemplified what spiritual faith is through his ministry. One of the typical examples is what happened back in 2000 during the Pakistan Crusade. Back at the time, we were not allowed to hold the crusade. The government, so the iron gate to the stadium was closed. Do you remember how he conducted himself in faith? Was he worried? He didn't have any concerns and worries. He boldly confessed that the iron gate will be open at 12 p.m. You know what happened? You know, outside the stadium, the policemen were standing on guard and people were praising. Senior pastor didn't have any worries after making that proclamation. Senior pastor stayed peaceful, and you know what happened? Just as he declared, at 12 p.m., the iron gate to the stadium was opened, and Father God's providence unfolded in a wonderful way. Senior pastor has always showed such deeds of spiritual faith. Witnessing his deeds of spiritual faith, we have to show such deeds as well. When back in 2003, when senior pastor in his sermon, our shepherd reminded us that in the third leap of faith, the key is to look at things with the shepherd's eyes and do things with his heart. We have to achieve such words. We have to look at things with the shepherd's eyes and do things with the shepherd's heart and overcome this situation. And Father God will surely answer us, seeing our faith. Do you believe this? Thank you. Brothers and sisters, to have spiritual faith, we ought to keep His commandments. We have to do what Father God commands us to do, abstain from doing what He tells us not to do, cast off what He tells us to cast off, and keep what He tells us to keep. Only then do we have nothing to condemn in ourselves and have confidence before God. Father God delights in our practicing the truth, and He gives us answers and blessings to His children with whom He is pleased. From this, we find that spiritual faith is always accompanied by deeds, namely, the deeds of practicing the words of God. We read in James chapter 2, verse 22, you see that faith was working with His works, and a result of His works, faith was perfected. And in James chapter 2, 26, we find, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Unless we don't act by the words, it is impossible to have spiritual faith. Moreover, as for those who commit sins, no matter how many times they confess, 'I believe,' spiritual faith can never be given. Only those who've repented of their sins and act in light can be given spiritual faith from above." Then, what is the reason the seven spirits measure our faith first? As I mentioned earlier, based on our measure of faith, God conducts evaluations on the other areas as well. Once God measures our faith and ascertains what level of faith we are at, the requirements for His answer are set. According to our level of faith, the required level of joy, prayer, thanksgiving, keeping of the commandments, faithfulness, and love is different. As for those at the first level of faith, the required levels are low. But as you move up in faith, the required levels increase as well. If the same levels were required of all people, you know, what would happen? People at the first level, people with weak faith may give up in the first place. On the contrary, it would be so easy for people with mature faith, people with greater faith. In turn, those who've become mature in faith wouldn't make any efforts to go into deeper spiritual levels. Knowing all this, our Father God has set different requirements by each level of faith. But even at the same level of faith, people are required to show different levels of these according to the content of their prayer. You know, to receive an answer for a significant matter, greater deeds of faith are required. A greater amount of prayer and a higher level of thanksgiving and faithfulness are required. If you consider your deeds enough at your level of faith, you can't expect greater blessings or answers. You need deeds of faith that surpass your level. As you receive God's answer like this, you can grow even more spiritually. Thus, I challenge you to press on vigorously without ceasing until you reach perfect faith. Brothers and sisters, second, the seven spirits measure our joy. Joy is one of the most typical evidences of salvation. If you indeed have met God, learned about heaven and hell, and realized that you've been saved and become a citizen of heaven, no doubt you have joy on your face. Before you believed in the Lord, you must have lived amidst sorrow, agony, anxiety, and concerns with all kinds of problems. Finally, you've been saved, become God's children, and been blessed to live in His love and grace with hope for heaven. So it's no wonder you've overflowed with joy. Some of you may argue, "I lived in joy even before I believed in God." But I want you to think whether you had true joy. You must have rejoiced only on joyful occasions. In the face of a trouble or suffering, that joy disappeared immediately. You were joyful only on the condition that things went in favor of your benefits or the way you pleased. It was a kind of joy that could be gone any time according to your situation. But those who live with spiritual joy always rejoice regardless of their situation, because they've gained eternal life, which is more precious than anything in the world, and have their hearts filled with hope for heaven, joy always springing from within. Of course, there are times we mourn for the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Yet, joy keeps flowing in the depths of our heart. Such spiritual joy is the privilege shared by saved children of God, and it is also a significant factor that makes Christians different from worldly people. Joy is also the evidence of our faith as well. Those who have firm faith in God and in His answering our prayer, have joy in their hearts despite their situation at the moment. No matter how difficult of a problem it is, because they believe it will be resolved, joy springs up from their heart. But some people lose spiritual joy even though they profess to have faith and have a title in a church. Although they are smiling on the outside, we can't feel joy from their heart. Mostly, it's because their fervent love for God has cooled down. Their faith has been changed from fervent to lukewarm because they've fallen back in love with the world and taken in worldly things. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, we find, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Once we love the world and take in worldly things, there stands the wall of sins before God, and then spiritual joy is gone. In such a case, even though we've lived long as a Christian or have a title in a church, our prayer cannot be answered. The reason is, we fall short of the required level of joy in the sight of the seven spirits. Then, how could we not lose our joy but keep it? We have spiritual joy when we pursue peace with everything. First, we ought to be at peace with Father God, and then with everyone around us. Also, if we are at peace with ourselves, we have joy springing from within. Especially if you keep peace with God, we always live in joy. In the middle of his sermon, the shepherd asked the following questions. He asked, "Are you indeed filled with joy? Are you joyful no matter the situation? Were you filled with a joy a few months ago or a few weeks ago? What about the day before yesterday, and today?" If you could say yes to all these questions, no doubt you've kept the peace with everything. I mean, you've been at peace with Father God, all people, and yourself. If you are at peace with everything like this, the Holy Spirit within you rejoices and provides you with the joy of heaven. No one, even the enemy devil, can take away the joy given to us from above. But if you find yourself without such joy, I advise you to figure out what caused you to break peace. If you've broken peace with God by violating His commandments, no wonder you have joy in your heart. You feel afflicted with concerns and worries. Most of those who often doze off or during services or prayer meetings are without joy in their daily lives. People who are filled up with the joy of heaven can listen to sermons happily and pray fervently. Those without joy are not touched by sermons and grudgingly pray. Because they can't find joy in their life of faith, if you think you fall under this category, I urge you to cut off the world first. Once you cut off the worldly things and instead take in the spiritual things, the Holy Spirit rejoices and gives you the joy of heaven. Also, I advise you to keep peace with everything, thus living a life filled with joy of heaven. Brothers and sisters, thirdly, the seven spirits measure prayer. They examine whether we pray without ceasing or pray in accordance with God's will. Just praying for many hours doesn't ensure that we... Even if we pray for a short amount of time, we have to pray in accordance with God's heart. Then, what kind of prayer is in accordance with His heart? Let me briefly explain. First, it is to pray habitually. Just as our Lord says, pray without ceasing, we have to make a habit of praying every day. Only when we keep on praying can we stay awake spiritually. If we are spiritually awake, we don't fall into any temptations. Even if we face a temptation, we can overcome it quickly. When we pray, our prayer is piled up in heaven. For this reason, those who've stayed awake in prayer can receive God's answer by offering just a little amount of prayer in urgent situations. But if we haven't prayed much enough, it's like we lack money. Thus, a great amount of prayer is required to resolve a problem. Next, we have to kneel down in prayer. Not only the prophets, but Jesus knelt down in prayer. If we ask Father God for something impossible by man, it's only natural that we humbly kneel down in prayer. Of course, there are situations in which kneeling down is not possible, but except for such cases, we have to kneel down, following the examples from the Bible. Next, we have to pray according to Father God's will. In Luke chapter 22, verse 2, Jesus prayed, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." Like this, we should pray according to God's will, not ours. We also read in James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, "You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask." In many parts of the Bible, Father God promises to give us when we ask Him. If we fail to receive answers even after asking, it's because we ask with wrong motives, to satisfy our lust. In that case, there is no reason for God to answer us. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 tell us, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." If you seek first His kingdom, not your own benefits, your prayer is in accordance with God. Then God answers your personal prayers. I hope that all of you will pray according to Father God's will. And next, we have to wrestle and earnestly cry out in prayer. Jesus wrestled and struggled in prayer to the point where His sweat became like drops of blood. Although we cannot pray like Jesus did, we ought to pray to the point of sweating. This is the law of the spiritual realm on receiving answers. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, God said to Adam, "By the sweat of your face you will eat bread." Just as we can get food by sweating in our labor, spiritually, to receive an answer to our prayer, there has to be sweating as well. Also, Father God has told us to pray with a loud voice. God promises us in Jeremiah chapter 20, He also said in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." Well aware of the Father's will, Jesus prayed in a loud voice. When He raised Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, He called out, "Lazarus, come forth." Even when He was hung on the cross, He cried out to the Father. We read in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, and Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, He breathed His last. Following the will of the Father God, Jesus always cried out in prayer. Next, we have to pray from our heart because God doesn't judge each person by his appearance, but by searching his heart. To pray from our heart is to speak our heart's desires with our lips. However, some people speak words that are not from his heart. Particularly, for example, because they know that they have to keep peace, they pray, "Help me pursue peace with all men." But they still blame and hate others. For the sake of peace, they have to change themselves first. If they only want the other person to change while not changing themselves at all, they're not truly seeking peace. So no matter how many times they say, "Please help me pursue peace," that's not truthful prayer. So that's please remember that what Father God sees is the truthfulness of our hearts. Lastly, we have to pray with faith and love. James chapter 1 verses 6 and 7 tell us, but he must ask with faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought to not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. If we think like, would he answer me? If you have such doubts, we can receive an answer. We have to pray with faith that the living God will surely answer us, and pray, and we should also pray with love for God. In praying for the church and the souls, only when we pray with love can our prayer be offered up as beautiful aroma. Therefore, I ask you to pray with faith and love even when you pray for a short amount of time. So far, I've explained what's the seven spirits measure. Let me go over. In measuring our prayer, the seven spirits... Second, we have to kneel down in prayer. Third, we should pray according to Father God's will, not ours. Fourth, we have to wrestle and struggle in prayer and cry out in prayer. Fifth, we have to pray from our heart. Sixth, we have to pray with faith and love. Hearing this, some of you may think the conditions are too complicated. But rather than seeing them as complicated, I challenge you to satisfy the qualifications at least in the area of prayer, especially during the special Daniel prayer meeting session. Let me sum up today's message. Today, I've delivered the message on the seven spirit with which you have to arm yourself to receive answers in this time of blessing. I told you that the seven spirits is the heart of Father God who evaluates us before giving us answers. If we are found qualified in the seven areas, God gives us answers to our prayer. Among seven areas that He measures, we've gone over faith, joy, and prayer. Brothers and sisters, we are now going through a time of blessing permitted by Father God so that we can become the fruit of the shepherd's tears. Father God eagerly hopes that you will come forth as the fruit of the shepherd's tears and help His marvelous ministry as spiritual warriors. To do so, we have to make the words of life and the shepherd's teachings our own. We have to accomplish them in our hearts. As I told you earlier, for a significant matter, it may not be easy to satisfy the required measure of justice. You know, we may have to shed many tears, but we don't see our path as only difficult or demanding. We are now worn out. It's because we have our shepherd who continually encourages us to enter New Jerusalem and willingly shares even our burden. We've always felt such love. You know, there's a praise song that says, "Let's go to heaven together." But senior pastor changed the lyrics. Seeing the shepherd put in the word together instead of quickly, he said, he urged us to go to heaven together. Seeing this, I was deeply moved by his love and shed many tears. Do you always remember him every moment of your life? Do you believe that he's still with us, cheering for us? Recently, I could feel the shepherd's cheering in our lives. The week before the anniversary, I led the dawn prayer meeting during the week. And on the last day, on Friday, after I led the dawn prayer meeting, that day we had a anniversary Eve service. I was praying for the shepherd. What came to my heart was, the shepherd, the senior pastor, is the one who wants to attend the anniversary Eve and service more than anyone else. And I believe that he will be with us with his spirit. That's what came to my heart. So I decided not to forget the shepherd, keep him in my heart, and look at things with his eyes and do things with his heart. I made such a resolution during the anniversary season. So seeing those signs and wonders Father God showed us, I was more inspired. And something caught my eye. And it was a flower pot at the second sanctuary. As I saw the flower on the pot, I saw the image of the shepherd that caught my eye. Seeing this, I shed a lot of tears with repentance. And that flower was there in the second sanctuary all week long. But, but as I pray for the shepherd, Father God allowed me to see that image on the flower. And I could feel that the shepherd is cheering for me. And when I see Father God's grace, you see, the pastor is always cheering for me. As I had this realization, I made a resolution to keep him in my heart always. And our shepherd is with you. Strengthened by his cheering, I hope that all of us will change ourselves fervently. A senior pastor used that word, fervently. I urge you to change yourselves fervently. Thank you. So when we see our shepherd once again, we can boldly confess we have become the fruit of your tears.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.